Legal Q&A with Coulter Roche Lawyers, station sponsor.
The content of this program is intended only to provide a summary and general overview of matters of interest. It is not intended to be comprehensive, nor does it constitute legal advice. Any opinions or recommendations in this presentation have been prepared without taking into account your personal circumstances or needs. You should seek legal or other professional advice before acting or relying on any of the content.
And it's a very good morning to Anne O'Loughlin, the head of family law at Coulter Roche. Thank you very much for being with us, Anne.
Thank you for having me, Mitch.
Now, I was talking to a law student a couple of weeks ago, and they said this time of year is the busiest time for family law. I think a few issues tend to come to the surface over Christmas, which then need to be resolved. Is that what you've been experiencing?
Yes, although it seems to be busy all year round, Mitch, but sometimes specific issues raise their heads at Christmas time. Your parents not making the child available to the other parent over Christmas or for school holidays, so... Yeah, it is a particularly busy time.
Now, today's topic is mediation, both in parenting and children's matters. It's quite a diverse topic.
Yes, it's actually in parenting matters and property matters, Mitch. So a little bit different for both, but I can explain what occurs both with children's matters or parenting arrangements and also property division.
So the point of mediation is to try and prevent the matter from going to court, is that correct?
It is, it is. I guess it's the same with every court, whether it be a Commonwealth court or a state court. The number of matters listed and the time that people wait for a final hearing is significant. In the Federal Circuit Court, it can be often be over 12 months. So in an effort to reduce the burden on the system, I guess, and also to assist parties to reach agreement between themselves, mediation in relation to parenting arrangements is now compulsory, save for in circumstances of urgency. So rather than parties just making an application straight to the court, they're required by law to attend at mediation somewhere like in Geelong, the Family Relationship Centre, or other organisations that are able to provide that mediation.
And why is there such a backlog to get into the courts? Why would it take 12 months?
Just the number of matters that are listed before the court. On any duty day, if you were to go up to the Federal Circuit Court in Melbourne today, for instance, you'd have a couple of judges having what we call duty lists, which is often the first time a matter goes to court, and it's not unusual that those duty lists comprise of, you know, somewhere between 20 and 30 applications. So when you think of that many applications going through the court and a limited number of judges, that it's very busy. Often final hearings or trials can take, you know, up to 5 days, sometimes as much as 2 weeks. Mm. So that will pull one judge out for that period of time. So it's just the sheer volume of people applying to the courts that then causes the backlog. We don't have, as in our other courts, state courts, an unlimited number of judges, which would be nice, but we don't.
And I suppose the other point is that a lot of these issues are quite urgent. Like if it's a parenting situation, you would probably want to get that resolved as soon as possible for the well-being of the child.
If it's, yes, Mitch, if it's an urgent matter such as one parent's relocated interstate or overseas without the other parent's consent and taken the children, that's a matter of urgency. In that case, the parties won't be required to go to mediation. If there's an instance where for a significant period of time the child hasn't been spending time with one of the parents, you can often convince the court that that's a matter of urgency and it's in the child's best interest that in normal circumstances they have time with both parents. But otherwise, if it's just simply parents not being able to decide what school the child goes to or whether they spend 3 nights or 4 nights with the other person, that's when mediation is appropriate and you need to attempt mediation. Not always successful, but at least it gives parties the option to reach agreement between themselves rather than a judge making arrangements for those parties' children. We often hear judges say, especially when parents go to the court saying, one party wants the child to go to one school, another school, why are you making us, as judges who know nothing about your children, make a decision about schooling? So that's where mediation and a qualified mediator can assist the parties in reaching that agreement.
That's a very fair point. So on the mediation front, just explain what the experience would be like for someone going through that.
Okay, so from the time parties separate and there are children involved, they can contact somewhere like the Family Relationship Centre. One party will do that. Then there'll be intake appointments for both parties, and then there'll be joint sessions. So those sessions can be held with both parties in the same room, or there can be, if there's issues of violence or one party doesn't want to be in a room with another party, there can be what we call shuttle mediation where they're in separate rooms. Wow. It depends on how busy the Family Relationship Centre or Centre Care Catholic Care are at the time as to what the wait is. But sometimes there can be, a wait of around 3 months before you get to the joint session. But we're finding that mediation process is assisting parties to reach agreement rather than having to go down the court process. And the parenting matters that are going through the court process are usually the more complex matters where parties are entrenched in their views and they can't reach agreement. And if you can't reach agreement, you'll be given a certificate by the family dispute resolution practitioner, as they're called, to then say that you've tried mediation, and once you have that certificate, then you can make an application to the court.
So with the mediation process, what sorts of people are there? Like, for example, can you bring extra people along with you for support? Do you have legal representation, or is it just the two parties in
just
the mediation?
Just the two parties, no legal representation.
Right.
There are other ways where we have another process, which perhaps we could talk about another day, once parties have issued an application, where there is a process for family dispute resolution where legal representatives can attend. That's run through legal aid. So if one party is legally aided, you can go down that process. But no, it's just the parties and the qualified mediator.
Because some people might not feel confident about articulating their point of view, the emotions are running high and all that type of thing. So that could be a little bit daunting maybe for some people.
I'm sure it is daunting. And especially sometimes in some relationships there are power imbalances between the parties. But that's where we rely on the highly qualified mediators that are at these accredited centres that run the mediation. So you have the benefit of them being able, and that's their role, that's what they do. So they can make people comfortable and make sure that that power imbalance isn't allowed to occur if there is one, and both assist both parties in articulating, as you say, what their position is and why. So,
now, I assume that coming out of mediation, that there's nothing really legally binding that comes out of that process. Is that right?
That's right. The parents can enter into a parenting plan in relation to parenting arrangements for their children, but that is not enforceable by the court. So often parties will say, we've reached agreement, can you now draft court orders? And we'll do that and take it down to the magistrate's court down here, and the court will make orders and they are binding on the parties. And if one party doesn't comply with those orders, you have a right to enforce those orders through the court. So, yes, you're right. Then sometimes parties are quite amicable, but just need a little bit of assistance in fine-tuning what the arrangements are with both parents, and they never finalise it, that by court orders. But some people want to. They want that security of being able to take an order to the school and say, don't release the child to the father or the mother, other than these times when you can see that they're supposed to be in that parent's care.
Because I think with some disputes, things can seem right on the day, but then it's good to have something in writing that is going to protect you so that those decisions are upheld going forward?
That's correct. As I said before, sometimes parents can just simply move children interstate if you've got an order in place, you can get what's called a recovery order if a parent does that. A little more complicated if you don't have formal parenting orders in place.
And what are the main differences between mediation for property matters versus family matters or children's and parenting matters? Is it really sort of pretty similar?
It is similar. It is similar. Often parties will require the assistance of a lawyer in relation to some of the issues in property matters, because there are issues of contribution and other sort of specific issues which relate to property matters which need the assistance of a lawyer, and it's not always a person with a legal background who's doing the mediation. But some people get some guidance from the mediator that they're using in relation to their parenting matter, but then we'll bring it to a lawyer just to make sure that it is fair and equitable to both parties.
So if mediation breaks down, either one party doesn't really want to participate in the first place or they just can't come to an agreement, you mentioned there that you get a certificate, and what happens from there?
You get that certificate in relation to parenting matters, not property matters. There's no there's nothing to say that you must attend mediation for a property matter. You must make an effort to try to settle a property matter, but you don't have the requirement, the mandated requirement, that you have to attend at mediation. So if you're attending mediation for parenting matters and the mediation breaks down, for whatever reason, one party doesn't want to participate, or you've really made a fair effort to resolve it, but you can't reach agreement, then you get your certificate. And then you will take that to a lawyer, and then we are able to make an application to the court which annexes that certificate to say you've attempted mediation, it hasn't worked, now you require the assistance of the court to resolve your parenting matter. And just because a matter goes to court doesn't mean that it's not going to settle somewhere along the court process.
Yeah. Well, it's a very, very interesting topic, and I think we've covered it in some detail, which is fantastic. Just final point, for someone going into mediation, what sorts of tips would you give them on how to best go through the process? You know, what sort of advice would you give someone?
I think the best advice is to just be themselves, say what it is that they want for their child and why, and go in making a good attempt to try to settle it, and not try. And, you know, if you need assistance from the mediator, if you're not feeling comfortable in the process, ask to spend some time with them separately, which hopefully has already happened in the intake phase anyway. And that's the idea of the intake, where both parties go separately. So, you know, you need to state what it is that you want and why, and what you believe is in your children's best interests. And if there are any, you feel there are any power imbalances or you're uncomfortable in any way with the process, to get the assistance, because the mediators are extremely experienced and well used to this process. So,
very good. Well, thank you very much for being with us this morning. Very informative, and we look forward to catching up with you again in the future.
Thanks, Mitch.
Anna Lachlan there, Principal and Head of Family Law at Coulter Roach Lawyers, station sponsors.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.